Samuel said, I sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. So this is the month. Last week was the official day of prayer for the persecuted church. And we are celebrating a week late, and I'm glad. There's several things I'm glad about. I'm going to play Pollyanna for a minute. I am glad. This is the glad game. I am glad for Pastor John, Pastor Mike, Pastor Johnny, Pastor Blaine. Do you realize there's many churches where they would never, ever give an entire service to the persecuted church? The men who lead us are humble, prayerful, always ready to make room for prayer. Thank you for prayer this morning, that we were able to pray together for the persecuted church, and thank you for this entire service. I love our pastors. I appreciate them. They are men of God to be followed. So, just like Samuel, they have not ceased to pray for the people of the body, and they are leading us to do that. Hebrews 13:3, as John said this morning, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 13, way at the back of your Bible, not all the way to Revelation, but back there with the Timothys and the Titus. Hebrews 13:3. As long as I've worked with Voice of the Martyrs, which is probably over 10 years, this has been the verse that they have drilled into us and put on everything that we publish. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Here's my chain. And I'm going to put it right here in front of our communion, so that when we all come up and partake of the body of Christ, we can remember that we are with them as part of the body, chained with them. And the other verse is Romans 12:12. Don't you love Romans? Don't you love your Bible? I just tell you, every time I open it up, I think, oh, Lord, I love Paul. I love that he taught me that. I thank you for Samuel. It's just such a blessing. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. That was the verse that I read about in this. I don't know how many. If you receive our newsletters monthly, would you stand up? You receive the Voice of the Martyrs newsletters. Thank you. If you read them, would you continue standing up? I don't always get around to reading them, and so I do eventually, but not each month. So there were two stories in this one that really touched me. One was about Peter Jasser. He was born in Czechoslovakia, and his father was persecuted during the time of communism. And he wasn't a Christian in the beginning, but then he got saved. His story is tremendous. And then he began to work with Voice of the Martyrs, and he would go into countries to help the persecuted church. And there was a little boy in Nigeria who had been attacked, and his feet are gone. And so the Voice of the Martyrs went there, and they built special shoes for this little boy. And there's a picture of Peter Jasser holding this little boy. And shortly after that picture was taken, he was arrested. He thought he was just going to leave the country, go back home, and he got a tap on the shoulder as he was in the airport to head back. And they ended up arresting him, saying he was doing covert activity and that he was a spy. And so he was arrested and sentenced to a very long time. He did not serve at all. Thank you for praying. The whole body of Christ, it's so wonderful when God hears and answers prayer. And he is now free. You can hear him actually give his own testimony on VOM radio. If you have a cell phone, I wonder if you could also just pull that out of your pocket or your purse and just hold up your cell phone. I wonder if there's anybody here without a cell phone. Wouldn't that be sad? These are one of the best tools for praying for the persecuted church, not just today, but any day of the week. If you look up prisoneralert.com, you can find people to pray for, and you can actually write them letters in their language, and you get on there and you find a verse. There's about 75 verses, and you can click on it. Not on your cell phone, you would need your computer. And maybe you want to say, rejoicing in hope, steadfast in prayer. You click on that, and whatever country they are in, if it's Eritrea, it will translate it into their language. Then you hit print, and you can send a whole letter in their language to them. These letters do not always get to the very people that you write to, but the guards have to read every letter that is sent to them. So you're evangelizing and helping spread the word of God in prisons throughout the world. So I love that part of our ministry. I also want to tell you about our 2019 prayer calendar. These are so helpful for me. I have one by where I brush my teeth. And each day I can look at that as I'm brushing my teeth and pray for a different. They're all prayer requests that have come in from different countries, from different people who work in those countries, and very short. You don't have to spend 20 or 30 minutes. You can just brush your teeth and pray for the persecuted church in Somalia or Uzbekistan and just know that you're doing it with people all over the world. So I've got several of these. If you would want to make a donation, you can. If you don't want to, I've got these, and I would love for you to just pray. So they'll be down on my table. Down on my table down there, there's a copy of John 15 that's all written by hand. And that's a representative of sometimes there's only one scripture that the persecuted church has, and they share it, and they pass it around. There's also a crown of thorns down there. I encourage you to look at that. There is a cookie jar that has the children of the world in it. If you'd like to make a financial donation to Voice of the Martyrs, I will send it on. If you'd rather do it as a whole church, I don't know, we could do that another time, but whatever the Lord puts on your heart. I gave several ladies prayer coverings, head coverings. If those ladies would come and stand with me right now. Nate Tate, is this going to work? We'll get the video, and there's not a lot of audio anyway, so we're going to pray. A lot of times when I really started learning to pray, you're not born again knowing how to pray. It is something you learn. You learn by doing it with other people. You learn by reading books about how to pray. Intercessory prayer. Sometimes, even when you're first saved, God save me, I'm a mess. That prayer is real easy to pray. But as you learn to pray for people in other countries, it's kind of difficult because a lot of times you've never met them and you don't really have much of a compassion. And so what I started to do when I was learning to pray for others is think of them as if they were really somebody I had met. So LaDonna, I'm going to have you come over here. She is my representative for a lady that we're going to focus on this morning called Asiya Noreen Bibi. All these ladies are from Pakistan, so they have on their head coverings. And we're going to watch a very short DVD that John Warning is not the one from this year because I ordered one online and it didn't come. And then the other one I called VOM and it didn't get here in time. So I have another one on Pakistan. And so if someone would turn off the lights and we'll see about this and just think about our sisters in Pakistan as you watch this. The passage in Revelation says, "How long, O Lord, And it's the martyrs asking God how much longer they have to suffer. And God says in a very interesting thing back to the martyrs who are in heaven. And he says, until the number of those who also will be beheaded for their faith is full. So maybe it's us. Maybe we're part of that number. Or maybe we're going to be praying for one of them this morning. LaDonna is representing a lady who was born and raised in Pakistan, and these are the people from her church. These are the people who love her. And she was arrested and put in prison 8 years ago. She was found guilty at that point of blaspheming the Prophet Muhammad. And Christians are less than 1% of the population in Pakistan. And she had gone with other ladies. She was working in the field. They were picking this fruit. And they asked her to go get the water. And so when she touched the water and actually drank from it, the Muslim ladies were furious that a Christian would touch their water. And they began to argue. And they were trying to get her to convert to being a Muslim, and she didn't want to. She's a Roman Catholic. She can't read. She's illiterate. And she has two biological children and three children from her husband's first marriage. And they began to beat her and be really mean to her. And one of the things that she said when she had this argument, when they were trying to get her to convert to Islam, is, did your prophet die for the sins of the world? And of course, Muhammad did not. And they did not like her saying anything that would defame Muhammad. So on October 31st, our Halloween, her case, the ACLJ and Christians all over the world have been working on Essia's behalf to try to get this blasphemy law. There is a law in Pakistan that you can be hung or beheaded for blaspheming Muhammad. And so on October 31st, the Supreme Court, and there were only three on their Supreme Court, changed. They said there wasn't enough evidence against her, and they said, we are going to free her. So Dale came to home group Wednesday night on Halloween night, and he had on his laptop a picture of Essia, and we all rejoiced. She's freed. She's freed. And I love Dale. Dale loves the persecuted church. He lets me know stuff when I haven't gotten to know it anywhere else. Mwah. So I was so thankful. And then the next day, I got on the internet, and I was reading, and I thought, she wasn't released. So I wrote the lady that's my representative down in Bartlesville in Oklahoma, and I said, the sources I'm reading says she's not free. And she wrote back, and she said, well, we have really reliable sources. I really think she's free. So just this morning, I got on again to see. And the thing that's happening is that Pakistan has some very, very radical elements in it. And they were furious, beyond furious, violently furious. When she was freed on Halloween night, over 1,000 people filled the streets of the capital and blocked traffic and threw things and rioted. And they said she should not be freed. She needs to be beheaded. This is wrong. She has blasphemed Muhammad. This is terrible. If you do this, think what's going to happen. The whole country of Pakistan is in an uproar over Essia Bibi. So as of this morning, one of the reports said that her husband and her children were able to go to the Netherlands. But then another report, and I don't know if this is because the government is trying to keep riots from happening, they said she's just been moved from the jail to another safe place in Pakistan. This is why I'm glad we are having our day of prayer today instead of last week. Please pray for Essia. Kenneth is going to come up now and share his part. And would you lead us in prayer for Essia? And don't sit down quite yet, girls.
Your... Father, we are so grateful to be reminded that it means something to believe in you. Just like that video said, it's different in other countries, or is it? But it certainly is true in Pakistan that to profess Jesus Christ can mean your imprisonment or even your death. And so we do pray for Asiya. We pray, Lord, for mercy upon her. We pray for her release. And yet, at the same time, we know that that release might enrage others and put more pressure on the Christians that are there. So, Lord, what a difficult situation it is. And yet, we want you to be glorified. We want your word and your truth to go forth. We want others, other souls that do not believe in you, other people that do not have faith in you yet, to rise and to come to know you and to be saved unto eternal life. Lord, that is our goal, that you be glorified and that others come to know you, that they truly might celebrate in heaven with all of you and live forever in your presence, just as you have promised us. So, Lord, let faith go forth, let your righteousness avail, and may your sovereign will be done in this situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just want to say that there were two people, the governor of Punjab and another man who defended Asiya, and they were assassinated. One was assassinated by his own bodyguard, and the other one was shot. So the government situation is very dangerous for anybody who would defend this blessed lady. So thank you.
Okay, 13 minutes, and it'll be 11 o'clock. So I told Dale before the service, I said, never know how much time I have. So I have a long version and a short version. So we'll do the short version as much as I'm able to be short. So you guys pray for me. Okay. Injustice. Injustice has been around for a long time. We need to go no further than the first two brothers that are recorded in the Bible, right? Cain and Abel. And what happened there? Cain was jealous and killed Abel. What an injustice act to kill your brother who offered a great and wonderful sacrifice to God. I want to highlight three people in the Bible, three J's, very quickly and briefly, that injustice was done to. Job, Joseph, and Jesus. First of all, Job. We'll talk about the circumstances for all three. Job, the Bible says he was the most righteous man on the face of the earth at the time. And yet what happened to him? His seven sons and his three daughters were killed, and many of his servants. All his livestock, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, and the Bible says 500 female donkeys. I don't know why female, but that's what it says. And they were all killed, and he lost them all. And then there were health issues that were inflicted upon him. Seems kind of unjust, right? The most righteous man on the face of the earth, and he had to suffer and endure this. And then there was Joseph. You all know the story. Cast into a pit at the age of 17, or a dry well, by his jealous and envious brothers. They were going to kill him, but Reuben intervened, and they sold him to the Edomites, and they moved him down to Egypt, so he was sold to a different group of people. How would you like it if one of your brothers or sisters, some other foreign country came and they sold your brother or sister to a different nation? He was falsely accused and imprisoned for at least 2 years once he got there by Potiphar's wife. He was righteous and ran away from the temptation and didn't succumb, and yet he was thrown into prison because someone falsely accused him. He endured 13 years from 17 to 30 before he was made the overseer and had heightened challenges all that time before he was finally exonerated. And of course we have Jesus, the most holy, pure, sinless Son of God and Son of Man who ever lived. We all know that. He never wronged or mistreated anyone. And yet he was misunderstood, misquoted, mistreated, plotted against, homeless for 3 years, rejected, despised, tried unjustly, replaced by a common thief. Maybe you suffer sometimes, or we all do, if we feel rejected. But here's this crowd in front of Jesus at the trial with Pilate, and they start crying, "We want Barabbas! We want Barabbas!" They're passing on the very Son of God. They're passing on the most righteous man that ever lived, and they want a common thief instead. To me, that's a rejection that I've never experienced. And he was mocked and he was scourged. He was beaten, crowned with thorns, dug into his skull, and of course he was crucified. So what were their responses to these situations? Job, he worshiped. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And verse 22 says that Job, in his response, he never sinned. He did not sin against God, even though all of that happened to him. Joseph understood. He saw the big picture. Genesis 50:20, talking to his brothers. By the way, it was 9 years. Scholars estimate that it was 9 years from his separation from his brothers before he saw them again. And it said that, "You meant it for evil, throwing me into the pit, selling me away. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." He understood the sovereign will of God in his life. And Jesus had compassion. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Aren't we grateful that he didn't take judgment, a righteous judgment that he could have inflicted upon all of us? Because we are sinners. We are fallen. We deserve death. And yet Jesus had compassion, even on those that rejected him, that wanted Barabbas, and that nailed him to the tree. So what are the results? Job, everything was restored and more. Job was blessed back with 7 more sons and 3 more beautiful daughters. The Bible describes the beauty of the girls for some reason, maybe in sense of a greater blessing for Job. Didn't give him 20, didn't double the amount of kids, just had the same amount. His livestock was doubled. If you go back in, like the 7,000 sheep, Scripture says now that he has 14,000. I didn't even know there was enough grass in that area to support that much livestock. And his relationship with God was deepened. It was a righteous relationship before, but now he had matured and knew God even in a greater way. Joseph's response, and the result of that, an entire nation, the Hebrews, were saved through a devastating 7-year famine. The whole Hebrew people would have been wiped out except for God's master plan and how he used Joseph. Do you think Joseph knew at the age of 17, when he was thrown in that pit, what the plan and purpose of God was for his life, to be able to save up enough and store enough food that his own family and the Hebrew people would be able to come down to Egypt and survive for 7 years? Of course not. And yet that's the master plan. We need to be sensitive and understand that God has a purpose that we may not see in our lives right now. And then Jesus, he made a way of escape from judgment. That way of escape was secured through his death. Forgiveness, justification, and redemption are granted to us, to those who repent and by faith proclaim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit is given to conform us to the very image of Jesus Christ. An eternal life in the presence of God and Christ is promised. Those are results from injustice. Praise God that his ways are above our ways. Amen. Another modern day example, 5 minutes. Another modern day example is Nigeria. I don't know if you know, but in June 30th, an article was published by a man named Joey Miller out of England. And the magazine is called The Express. The article was written on June 30th, and the week before, there were 238 Christians that were killed. And here's the article. If we can go to the next picture. Last weekend, 238 Christians were killed in a number of attacks by militia in an area of Nigeria called Plateau State, a region in the heart of the country. Campaigners are warning it is just the latest example of pure genocide in a country ravaged by religious division. A joint statement issued by the Christian Association of Nigeria said more than 6,000 Christian worshipers, mostly children, women, and the aged, had already been killed this year. They said there is no doubt that the sole purpose of these attacks is aimed at ethnic cleansing, land grabbing, and forceful ejection of the Christian natives from their ancestral land and heritage. What is happening in Plateau State and other select states in Nigeria is pure genocide and must be stopped immediately. They said those responsible were being allowed to go scot-free and said the Nigerian government was wrongly trying to paint the attacks as farmers and herdsmen clashes. The statement said, how can it be a clash when one group is persistently attacking, killing, maiming, destroying, and the other group is persistently being killed, maimed, and their places of worship destroyed? How can it be a clash when the herdsmen are hunting farmers in their own villages, communities, and farmers are running for their lives? They said the police service was skewed against Christians and even accused the government of being lukewarm in its attempts to free the Chibok schoolgirls. If you remember, there were girls kidnapped in Nigeria in both 2014 and early in 2018. Nigeria is one of the world's most dangerous countries to be a Christian, with anti-persecution organization Open Doors ranking it 14th on its annual watch list. They said Islam extremism, especially in the north of the country, was leading to hostility toward Christians. A little bit of injustice going on there, right? And there's the funeral procession. So in our day, what is our response? We just had our elections here, probably multiple responses in our hearts and thoughts and minds about the elections. Here's a nation where people, can you go back to that slide? So here's a nation and people during these murders, right after these murders in late June, early July, did a little protest and march out on the street and said, enough of bloodshed in Nigeria. So how do I respond today? How do we respond today? Well, first of all, I just have four scriptures because it's very challenging. I think it's hard for all of us. First of all, we need to be a daily encourager and an exhorter to our brothers and sisters in Christ, so our hearts do not get hardened and embittered. The scripture there says that, you know, encourage one another daily lest our heart be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We need to keep that freshness and that vibrance and that joy of who Jesus is and what he's done for us in our lives. We can get so cynical and so critical so quickly and so easily. And yet we need to keep our eyes and our faith and our heart focused on Jesus. One of the passages that we had that we prayed about this morning before the service, we need to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Again, Mike Bergen was in our prayer group. He called this a miracle. He says, when we can do this, that's like a miracle to be able to pray for someone that has hurt you or belittled you or defamed you, all those things. And yet it happens all the time. But our response is different because we believe in Jesus. And that's how Jesus acted toward us. And then Romans 12, 18 through 21, as much as it is our responsibility, we need to live peaceably with all. We must not take revenge, but let God in his timing take care of final justice. We need to provide food and drink to our enemy, and we overcome evil with good. I think learning to just let go and trust God, that to let him in his time provide vengeance and justice is one of the hardest Christian lessons for me in my walk and in my life, because I just want to react. I want to get even so quickly, but that's not God's way. That's not how he wants us to respond. And finally, the fourth and last, and I'm done. just a little bit low. This is Ephesians 4, 26 through 32. We can be angry. It's okay to get angry. It's a good motivator. If something stirs our ire, that's all right. But what do we do with it? That's the important thing. What's our response? We can be angry, but we cannot sin. We cannot let corrupt words come out of our mouths, but speak only what is good for the edification or the building up for that occasion. We are not to grieve the Holy Spirit, and we are to forgive. We were at home group Wednesday night, and we discussed all the wonderful political commercials that are on television and all the great words that all the candidates have regarding their opponents. And just thought of how much violation of the scripture occurs in our political campaigns on a daily basis. And it just grieves our hearts. It grieves my heart that this is how we have to live and have our political campaigns in America, by putting down other people. Vote for me because this person's so bad. It just doesn't make sense. But that's the way it is, right? So how do we respond? So, how did Jesus respond? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We need to collectively think about it. I think in my generation, our generation, we probably have been a little weak in our response to the things that have gone on, both politically and morally. And perhaps it's time that we unite as churches and as organizations across America and come out with a better voice talking about this. And we can do it in love. We can do it winsomely. We don't have to do it out of the flesh and out of just reaction, but we can do it biblically by loving one another, caring for one another, being that light and that salt on the earth that God wants us to be. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, it grieves me how man treats man on the face of the earth. All the wars, all the death, all the mistreatment of innocent people. It's just not right. And yet, Lord, you're more aware of it than we are. Billions of people on the earth, and yet you know intimately each and every one of us. And you're more aware of all the injustice than we are. And yet your Son still cared enough to come to this earth, to be nailed onto the cross, to provide a way and a means of escape for us, that we might even be your glory, your very image, conformed to your image through the power of the Holy Spirit and through your will, that we too can live with you for all of eternity, giving you praise and glory, treating everyone as you would treat them in heaven, that there would be no mistreatment of any human being, any soul in heaven, because you are sovereign Lord and you have conformed us so that we cannot sin. What a glorious, glorious hope we have in you. So Lord, in the meantime, may you give us wisdom to know how to respond in our day and age, that we might give you the glory that you are worthy of even in this life. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.